KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
At 9:04, it's cloudy here in Atlantic at 47 degrees. We look for cloudy skies today with a good chance of rain. A high only in the lower 50s before the temperatures start to drop off again down into the lower 40s. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News. In Western Iowa news, a handful of state senators tried to divert $25 million more state tax dollars to the Highway 20 expansion project, but 41 of the 50 senators have rejected the idea. Senator Rick Bertrand, a Republican from Sioux City, said finishing Highway 20 as a divided four-lane roadway all across northern Iowa would be an economic benefit.
It's time to fund it. Let's finish it.
Senator Matt McCoy, a Democrat from Des Moines, says the professionals, the Iowa DOT, should be making road building decisions and not legislators.
Wouldn't it be nice if all of us could determine where the roads in the state go?
Senator Mart Sigmart, a Republican from Vail, says only 32 miles of Highway 20 remains two-lane rather than four-lane today in Iowa.
It deserves to be finished as soon as possible because we know there's going to be growth that's going to just bloom all around that highway.
McCoy says it's a terribly bad idea for legislators to start deciding which roads get built.
It would put pork barrel politics back into this legislature, and it would forever change the formulas that have been adopted and adhered to by the DOT Commission.
To which Bertrand responded,
Senator McCoy, I understand the danger here, but you're right. When we build this road, the four lanes will be able to ship a lot of pork from one side of state to the other. A lot of pork on that four lanes, I promise you, a lot quicker.
U.S. Route 20 was one of the first coast-to-coast highways in the U.S. Advocates of an expansion have been lobbying for the project since the 1960s. The 32-mile stretch from Early to Mobile is the only part of Highway 20 in Iowa that remains a two-lane. The National Weather Service in Des Moines says one-inch diameter hail was reported to have occurred 6 miles north of Prescott Tuesday evening in Adams County. The report was filed just before 7 p.m. Adams County Emergency Management reported a few minutes later that there was a swath of one-inch hail that fell from Lake Icaria northeastward to the Adams-Adair County line. The hail fell between 6:35 and 7:05 and was also observed in the Adams County town of Carl. At 7:15, one-inch diameter hail was reported to have fallen 7 miles south of Greenfield in Adair County. There are no immediate reports of damage. With the month of May currently underway, let's look back at the weather stats for Atlantic for last month. In April of 2013, the average high temperature here in Atlantic was 57 degrees. The normal average is 62. The average low for the month was 32, which was slightly cooler than the norm of 37. Precipitation for April was more than an inch above normal at 4.55 inches, which included melted snowfall, and that only amounted to a trace. Normal precipitation in Atlantic is around 3.43 inches. The hottest days last month were just recently, the 29th and 30th, both of which topped out at 82. The coolest day was 13 degrees, which occurred on the 1st of the month. Looking ahead to the month of May, our records indicate the average high is 73, while the average low has been 49. Precipitation for the month typically amounts to around 4.32 inches. And a reminder that KJAN is the official National Weather Service reporting site for Atlantic. Elsewhere in area news, deputies of the Cass County Sheriff's Department were involved in a pursuit late Tuesday morning south of Atlantic. Cass County Chief Deputy Sheriff John Westering said there were no injuries reported, but the lives of the public were in jeopardy when the incident began to unfold just before 11 a.m.
Our communication center received a call that a resident from Willow Heights had taken off in a vehicle at Willow Heights, and it was going south from the residence on the gravel road. Deputy Larson was able to follow and find the subject. We tried several attempts to get him to stop, and it just became a pretty huge public safety concern. He was running vehicles off the road and stuff, so we at one point we did have him stop, but it did a pursuit. There was some contact between the squad car and the vehicle that was stolen. The subject refused to stop until he finally lost control on Highway 71, just south of Newport, where he went into the ditch. He was taken into custody without incident. All officers and the subject himself, no injuries, minor damage to both vehicles, so I think it turned out about as good as it could for the way it was looking there for a while.
And Westring's cruiser sustained some minor front-end damage during that pursuit.
Mine has slight damage to the front, but it'll be fine.
The damage occurred when Westring tried to block the suspect in.
Actually, he spun out and was trying to leave, and I attempted to pin him in, and I didn't want to disable myself out of the pursuit, so he did manage to get the car started and then took off again and came back. We were headed north on 71 at that point. He lost control, spun out in the roadway. I came up to pin his door shut because I thought he was going to get out and try to keep the car from from moving again because the speeds were in excess of 80 and he was in the oncoming traffic at several points of the pursuit. But he did take off again, and then I got in front of him, and he was trying to pass me and do some evasive maneuvers when he finally lost control and ended up in the East Ditch on Highway 71 just south of Newport.
And it's not clear what charges have been filed against the unidentified driver of that stolen vehicle. Taking a look at world headlines at this hour, a survey by payroll processor ADP suggests the government spending cuts and higher taxes may be weighing on the economy. It says private employers added just 119,000 jobs last month, the fewest in 7 months. And March's hiring was slower than first thought, just 131,000 jobs added. That was down from an initial estimate of 158,000. The ADP report is derived from payroll data and sometimes diverges from the government's monthly jobs report, which will be released later today. On Wall Street, the stocks have started the day lower. Violence has shown no signs of disappearing from primetime television. A study of nearly 400 primetime scripted programs finds that even in the sensitive period directly following the Connecticut school shooting, there were plenty of shootings, stabbings, and beatdowns. Violence was seen in nearly half the shows. The portrayals of violence cited by the Parents Television Council also includes the cartoonish, such as Homer strangling Bart for mouthing off on The Simpsons. Strong demand for the Ram pickup truck has helped Chrysler post its best April in 6 years. The automaker says its sales were up 11% for the month, led by sales of trucks and SUVs. Car sales, meanwhile, rose only 5%. Overseas, Afghan officials say insurgents have killed an Afghan government peace negotiator and two bodyguards as they headed to a meeting to discuss plans for local troops to take over responsibility from the U.S.-led coalition. The negotiator was on a council trying to start talks with the Taliban in hopes of ending the nearly 12-year-old war. Officials say attackers had hit his convoy with a bomb and automatic rifle fire. Taking a look at our funeral announcements this morning here on KJAN, Lloyd Laverne Sheldahl, age 82 of Avoca, died Friday at Creighton University Medical Center in Omaha. Funeral services for Lloyd Sheldahl will be today at 10:30 at the Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Avoca. Irma Bro, age 98 of Exira, died Friday. Funeral services for Irma Bro will be today at 1 o'clock at the Exira Lutheran Church. Kessler Funeral Home in Exira has the arrangements. Dwayne Kaiser, age 88 of Rural Lewis, died Saturday. Funeral services for Dwayne Kaiser will be on Thursday at 1:30 at the Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic. Victor Nielsen, age 91, who is formerly of Walnut, died at the Risen Sun Christian Village in Council Bluffs. Services for Victor Nielsen will be on Friday at 10 o'clock at the First Presbyterian Church in Walnut. Richard Chris Jorgensen, age 87, of Guthrie Center, died Monday. Funeral services for Richard Jorgensen will be held on Friday at 10:30 at the First United Methodist Church in Guthrie Center. Twig Funeral Home in Guthrie Center has arrangements. Marion Hendricks, age 79, of Harlan, died Friday. Memorial services for Marion Hendricks will be this Friday at 11 o'clock at the Burmeister Johansson Funeral Home in Harlan. Marilyn Erickson, age 70, of Griswold, died Sunday. Funeral services for Marilyn Erickson will be on Friday at 11:30 at the Dune Funeral Home in Griswold. Dale Blomquist, age 69, of Greenfield, died Friday in Des Moines. Funeral services for Dale Blomquist will be Saturday at 10:30 at the First Congregational Church in Stuart. Johnson Family Funeral Home in Stuart has the arrangements. Colleen Nelson, age 71, of Greenfield, died Tuesday at the Greenfield Manor. Services for Colleen Nelson are pending at the Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield. Clyde Bagshaw, age 93, of Messina, died Tuesday at her daughter Karen's home in rural Messina. Funeral services for Clyde Bagshaw are pending at the Steen Funeral Home in Messina. And Dwayne Ernst, age 72, of Adair, died Tuesday at Atlantic Nursing and Rehab. Services for Dwayne Ernst are currently pending at Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Atlantic. And a reminder, our next newscast will head your way just after 11:05. We have St. Louis Cardinals baseball heading your way at 11:50 here on KJAN. I'm Rick Hansen for KJAN News.